When Jesus tells us that he is the living bread came down from heaven, he is not just being poetic. He's talking about the sacrament of the Eucharist, by which he becomes truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity under the appearance of bread and wine. The other sacraments give us God's grace, but the sacrament of Eucharist gives us God himself as our nourishment. This is what Jesus means when he says, "My flesh is real food, my blood is real drink." 7 times in these 7 verses, Jesus repeats this message. He wants to make sure that we get it. The Eucharist is the supernatural food that keeps us going along the difficult path towards salvation and lasting happiness. Whoever eats my flesh has eternal life. This short speech by our Lord, in which he emphasizes the centrality of the Eucharist in the life of every Christian, helps us understand more deeply the Church's commandment to attend Mass every Sunday and every holy day of obligation. To not do so when you are able to is a serious sin. It's easy to think that this precept is arbitrary or old-fashioned, as if the Church were on some kind of meaningless power trip. Nothing could be further from the truth. Mass is the celebration of the Eucharist, and the Eucharist is the source and summit of our Christian life here on this earth. Mass is the anchor of our spiritual and moral life. It holds everything else in place for us, or at least it should. If we let that anchor go loose, sooner or later the rest of our lives will drift off course, dragged away by the powerful currents of selfishness and temptation. The more fully we understand why the Mass is so central, the more deeply we'll be able to live the Mass, and the more easily we'll be able to help bring back our friends and family members who have stopped coming to Mass. Today I'd like to emphasize just one aspect of the Mass, its objectivity, that is, objective truth versus subjective truth. Throughout the coming year, we'll have a chance to explore other aspects of the richness of this. We all know that we need contact with God to find fulfillment in life. As the Catechism puts it, man is made to live in communion with God, in whom he finds happiness. Well, the Mass is our anchor because it gives us objective contact with God. Other ways of encountering God are very helpful too, and even necessary, but cut off from the Mass, they lose their objectivity. Often, they depend upon feelings or other external factors. For example, if we go to a praise and worship gathering and we feel good, we think we had contact with God. But if we go to a praise and worship gathering and feel bad, then we wonder if we had a contact. If we make time for personal prayer, we often get distracted or fall asleep or run out of things to say, and we don't know if we're really praying as we should. This doesn't mean that we shouldn't participate in these kinds of activities. It just emphasizes our need for an objective way of approaching God, a way that doesn't depend primarily on our own ideas and feelings. And the Mass doesn't. The Mass is the perfect act of worship, the perfect prayer, objectively perfect, because the Mass is Jesus Christ's own prayer. It is his own sacrifice on the cross, his own act of worship, really made present for us, whether we happen to feel any spiritual warm fuzzies or not. The priest who celebrates the Mass guarantees this. He has been configured to Christ in the very depth of his being through the sacrament of holy orders. God has set him aside to act in Christ's place, just so we can be sure that this act of worship is truly Christ's own. And the prayers, the readings, and the rubrics of the Mass, as promulgated by the Church, are equally objective. They accurately express the truths of the faith and the sentiments of Christ himself. And so they are objectively pleasing to God. They hit the nail right on the head every time. So, even if the priest happens to be careless and sloppy, Even if the church building happens to be ugly, even if the music happens to be out of tune, even if the parishioners are a mixed bag of characters, I've never seen something like that. It could happen, though. Even so, when we participate in Mass, our weak and imperfect efforts to serve God are swept right up into the perfect service of Christ Himself. And how does this happen? We can think of the Mass, if you will, as a wrinkle in time, or as a time warp, something like that. You may notice, or you may not have, that I try never to wear my watch at Mass, because God is in the present time, and the Mass is kind of in a time warp. And so I don't want to have my watch on, because I'm in a time warp. I'm in a wrinkle in time, if you will. In every Mass, Jesus opens a corridor through history, linking three things: the here and now of our normal everyday lives with all of its struggles, joys, and sorrows; the historical sacrifice of His own body and blood on the cross at Calvary, by which He repaired the damage done by Adam and Eve's disobedience to God; and His everlasting self-offering as it continues now in heaven, where He is always interceding for us as our leader and our high priest in the presence of God the Father. As the Catechism puts it, it is Christ Himself, the eternal high priest of the new covenant, who, acting through the ministry of the priest, offers the Eucharistic sacrifice. And it is the same Christ, really present under the species of bread and wine, who is the offering of the Eucharistic sacrifice. At Mass, in other words, we plug our earthly lives into eternity. We have the chance to apply Christ's grace to our unique network of experiences, projects, relationships, like applying oil to hinges or medicine to wounds. This is why Catholics throughout the centuries have made so many sacrifices in order to faithfully attend Mass. Today, the Church requires that we fast for at least 1 hour before receiving Holy Communion, nothing except water and essential medicines. Before the Second Vatican Council, the required fast was much longer. It would lasted from midnight until whenever you would receive communion on Sunday morning. During World War II, soldiers on the front lines, exhausted physically and emotionally from grueling conditions and the horrors of battle, would often fast from midnight until the following evening, just so that they could receive communion at Mass, which the chaplain was unable to celebrate in the morning. Mass links our lives here on earth with the life of heaven, giving it a meaning beyond any that we could give it ourselves. This objectivity of Sunday Mass, it's guaranteed to be the consummate prayer and act of worship, no matter how we may feel, makes it both the perfect conclusion to the week that is coming to an end and the perfect introduction to the week that is beginning. At the offertory, when the gifts are brought up, we offer all of our work, sufferings, and achievements of the previous week to God. We give them eternal meaning. We deposit them into the bank of heaven. Spiritually, we place them upon the altar together with the bread and the wine. This is symbolized by the monetary offering that we put in the basket. And then, before Mass ends, we receive Holy Eucharist, God's offering to us of His own life, His own comfort, grace, and presence to strengthen us for the challenges and opportunities of the week to come. This is why our Lord rejoices when we obey the church commandment to come to Sunday Mass. And this is why He longs for us when we are absent. Our Lord desperately wants to fill us with His grace and have us grow in holiness. When we come to Mass and worthily receive Him, we give Him the chance to do just that.